I want to welcome you all to our first digital Sunday in April 12, 2020. None of us have probably started this year thinking that this was going to take place, but here we are. We know you can't come to church today, so we're bringing church to you today. And so we just want to say welcome and happy Easter Sunday. Happy Resurrection Day. Our Savior is risen. Amen. He is risen from the grave just as he said. Jesus arose early on Sunday morning, the first day of the week, and that's why we have church on Sundays, to remind us that Jesus has already won the greatest battle and stands victorious already. And so this weekend is all about saving lives from Good Friday to Easter. And so we're taking every precaution we can to help you and your loved ones stay safe and to save lives as well. So we're thankful that we can even have this opportunity to bring God's word into worship time with you. So just thank you, praise team. We have 7 people here, so we're within our guidelines to worship today. So if you're watching at home in your PJs, just having breakfast and just watching us, thank you for getting online here. Our leaders have called this week Pearl Harbor Week, or another 9/11 due to the effects of this virus on our nation. It's no doubt been a tough week for our nation, and our thoughts and prayers are with the families and those on the front lines and our family, those families who've lost loved ones or dealing with the virus, even those who are being laid off due to this shutdown. So our thoughts and prayers are with you. This week has also been Holy Week or Passion Week, and it reminds us, even though Jesus had a tough week, he came out victorious. And so that's what our prayer is for the nation, that we come out victorious from this. And so today we celebrate the greatest event of Jesus' resurrection. And so his great victory over and against the greatest spiritual and invisible attack on our world. And so today we sorrow with our nation and for other countries, but we rejoice in the hope that Jesus has brought to us. He brought the cure for all mankind. And so Jesus is our hope. He's our living hope, just like we just sung about. And he's also demonstrated his greatest love to the world. And we need both of those aspects today, his love and his hope, more than ever. You know, when Jesus said in 3 days he would rise, and he did just that, there's something magical about this number 3 when it comes to the resurrection weekend. There's so many threes that I came up and found as I was studying this week. And so Jesus' favorite number is 7. And so we looked at the 7 statements that Jesus even made on Good Friday. You can go back and watch that online. But the number 3 just keeps coming over and over again on Easter weekend. And so think about this. He said in 3 days he would rise. He stayed home with 3 people in Bethany, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. There were 3 Marys who helped him with his burial. There were 3 Marys at the cross. There were 3 nails on the cross. There were 3 men on crosses that day. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus prayed 3 times for his father to remove the cup from him. And he was interrogated by 3 different groups, the religious group, Pilate, and Herod. So there was all kinds of numbers of 3 going on that weekend. And so today we're going to give a message on Easter. So what does it really prove? Why does this day that we remember 2,000 years ago still give us hope? Why does it still matter even in times like we're living in? So we're going to give you 3 reasons why here in just a minute. But if Jesus was able to claim his own resurrection and it happened just as he said, then that makes Jesus very unique from any other religious leader out there. And we're going to see why. Jesus said he had the power to raise the dead, and he did it 3 times before his own resurrection. He predicted his own resurrection in 3 days and demonstrated it in the miracle of Lazarus just weeks before his own resurrection. So he gave plenty of clues along the way that he could have the power to raise the dead. But when it comes to raising himself from the dead, people kind of questioned that. But guess what? No one else has made these claims. No one else has ever said, you know, I've risen someone from the dead. That's part of my credentials. Only Jesus has that credential. And that's why you need to focus on him this Holy Week or this Passion Week, because there's no one else like him. So if you're looking for a Savior, look at Jesus. And many people have questions about this whole weekend, Good Friday, the cross, the empty tomb, his resurrection. And so I just want to ask some of those questions that people have and try to answer those questions and then try to prove three main things that Jesus accomplished with his resurrection. So here are a couple of questions. What did the resurrection really accomplish? Why is the resurrection the cornerstone of what Christians believe? If you took away the resurrection of Jesus, would it really matter to our faith? And the answer to that last one is it absolutely would. If you took the resurrection out, the whole house of cards, what we believe, all falls with it. Our faith, our hope, our meaning and purpose, our life itself, and even the afterlife. So what is at stake is our own eternity, and what also is at stake is God's reputation and his very existence. So everything hinges on this main event of Jesus' resurrection. So just as Ecclesiastes says, there is a strong cord of three things together. A cord of three strands is not easily broken. So I'm going to give you three main reasons why this thread of faith that we have is so strong, and what does it really prove? Because it's going to be tested. So here's number one. Jesus' resurrection verified that Jesus' sacrifice on the cross was absolutely perfect. It verified that his sacrifice was perfect. He offered a once and for all sacrifice to take away our sins. Hebrews 9 and 10, those chapters talk about his once for all sacrifice for our sins. He did not die many times. He died once and for all to take away sin. So the resurrection was a once and for all verification by God the Father that his sacrifice was acceptable to take away our sin. He's like, well, what proof was that? Well, the moment Christ died, the veil in the temple was torn in two. So that was one verification that his offering, his sacrifice, the blood that was shed was perfect, and that we can come to God now through Jesus Christ. So that was a main verification, but also the resurrection was the ultimate proof that his sacrifice was perfect. Think about this just for a moment. Jesus entered time and in a body and in this world to take away my sin, to take away your sin, and to restore our relationship to him. Now think about this. Since Jesus was eternal and offered an eternal sacrifice, think about this. He still bears the wounds in heaven to this day from this weekend, this weekend 2,000 years ago. He still bears the marks from that. So the Father continually sees this acceptable sacrifice. All of heaven sees this acceptable sacrifice. So if Jesus was eternal and he offered an eternal sacrifice for our sin and it was acceptable, then he's able to give us eternal life. An eternal being offered us eternal life and life with him forever. That's huge. I watched a movie yesterday called Indiana Jones. Since we live in Indiana, Indiana Jones, The Last Crusade. And so the main actor there, Harrison Ford, and his father, Sean Connery, was in the movie. And so they were in search for the Holy Grail, something to find, and so Indiana Jones's father was obsessed with finding eternal life. And so if you haven't watched a movie, so there's a guy that comes in, he tries to do the same thing, he takes the wrong cup and he ends up dying. But then the guardian of the tomb there says Indiana's chosen wise, he took the cup of a servant's cup. And he drank from that and supposedly received eternal life and gave it to his Father and all of these things. And so here's the main thing. We don't have to go dig up anything to find eternal life. There's no hidden grail somewhere that Jesus was supposed to give to Joseph of Arimathea. There's no myth. It's just Jesus. He is life and he's eternal life and he's come to give us that. So his offering was perfect. And here's the other ramification of this perfect offering. So therefore, he's not only able to give us eternal life, but he's also able to make us perfectly holy and have a clean slate before God. We can have a full pardon and have a full relationship with God because Jesus can make us perfect before God. So there's no more offerings needed since his was sufficient on Easter to take away our sin and offer this perfect sacrifice. Hebrews 13:20 says, Jesus was raised by the blood of an eternal covenant. When Jesus shed his blood, it ratified the old covenant. It fulfilled all of that, but it instituted something new. And so this is an eternal covenant. So God raised him by the blood that he shed for this eternal covenant to make us eternally right before God. John Piper, in his book, The Passion of the Christ, says this, "The resurrection proves that the death of Jesus is an all-sufficient price for sin. His death was the price that obtained the resurrection. What his death accomplished was so full and so perfect that the resurrection was the reward and vindication." Oh, I love that. So his death was a perfect sacrifice for sin, but it also showed us perfectly just how much God really loves us. Good Friday is a picture of God's love for us. Jesus says in John 15 to the disciples, "There's no greater love than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Jesus came to give us eternal life, a perfect forgiveness, and a perfect love. He shed his perfect blood for our sin to completely take it away. But there's more than that. Since he arose, it also guarantees our personal resurrection. Because he arose, we too shall rise with him. That's old Paul's argument in 1 Corinthians 15. If he didn't rise, then we just live and die, and our life has no meaning and purpose. And here's the thing, Jesus' death was a failure. If there's no resurrection, if he didn't rise from the dead, then we are at a huge loss in this world. We have no hope. We are still in our sin, and there's no hope of forgiveness. But because he arose, Jesus promised the afterlife with him and eternity with him forever. So Jesus said he came from heaven to take us to heaven. So the key question we have to ask ourselves in this life is, well, how do I get to heaven? Did Jesus ever tell us how to get to heaven? So in John 3:16, he told us the perfect way to get there. He says, "For God sent his one and only Son into this world because he loved the world. And whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." So Jesus told us the way. So in John 3:17, he says, "For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." He sent the cure to us. "And whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son." So there's ramifications, eternal ramifications for our faith in Jesus, either eternal life with Jesus or an eternal separation from Jesus. That's why the resurrection is so important. So Paul says in Romans 10:9, if we confess Jesus is Lord and believe God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Important verses we all should know. So there's eternal consequences for rejecting Jesus. There's also eternal consequences for receiving Jesus. Please understand that. The second proof his resurrection proves is that it verifies the Bible is genuine, it's real, it's a book of truth, that, or that it came from God himself. So the resurrection that Jesus predicted, the 3 days, was even predicted way before Jesus ever came on the scene. Psalm 16, Isaiah 53, there's Old Testament passages that talked about the resurrection of Jesus hundreds and thousands of years before it ever took place. So what does that verify? That simply means that God can predict the end at the beginning, and time just fulfills his acts when he came. If God makes a promise, he always fulfills it. And so here's what's at stake. If God didn't raise his son from the dead, then that means God's a liar and his truth is not truth at all. If God can't do what he said he was going to do, then why trust what he says? But here's the thing. Jesus rose from the dead just as he said, but also just what the prophets have said as well. So this book is an amazing book that we have in front of us. You can download the Bible on your phone. It's that easy. Or you can buy the greatest thing and hold it in your hands and read it and study it and realize this is an eternal book. This is something that's going to endure forever and ever. Please read it. Please study it. Please give yourself to know the God of the book and his book. Thirdly, it validates that Jesus is Lord. The resurrection proves that Jesus is king. We celebrate Christmas where Jesus is born king of the Jews. We celebrate his ministry where he proved through his miracles that he was king, Israel's king, and they acknowledged him as king. On Good Friday, it is written above his cross that Jesus died king of the Jews. And so we also believe that Jesus is the risen king. He came to conquer all our enemies. And so his resurrection proves his claims. It proves and validates that he is God, because he claimed to be not only equal with God, but be God himself in the flesh. So if he's conquered all his enemies, he's conquered death, he's conquered sin, he's conquered the devil, and he's conquered hell for us. If he's done that, then that means he is the King of glory, and he has taken his seat, like the Bible says, at his Father's right hand, and he intercedes for us, and he's praying for us even now. So everything is under his feet. That's why it's important to confess Jesus is Lord and believe that God raised him from the dead. We have to believe in Jesus. We also have to believe that he rose again for us, for our faith. So the key question is simply this: are you willing to submit to his kingship? Are you willing to submit to his kingship? Are you going to be a follower of Jesus, or do you want to be a king in your own kingdom? In Luke 19, in his final week, Jesus gave this parable on Monday of the parable of the tenants. And so he's talking about the landowner's son who came after his workers were already being beat up. And so the landowner said, the reason why they went after my son is because they didn't want a king to be over them. So in essence, Jesus was saying, the reason why these religious people are going to crucify me is the main motive is they didn't want really a king to be over them. They didn't want to serve and follow Jesus. They wanted to be their own Messiah. They wanted to follow themselves and do whatever they want. And that's the real issue for each of our hearts. Who's going to be king? Either Jesus or me. It can't be both. It has to be King Jesus. Because here's the reality. I can't beat death. You and I cannot beat the greatest enemy in this world, and that is death. So I follow and put my trust in one who already did. Jesus conquered death. He conquered the grave. So therefore, it has no sting in my life. It has no power over my life. And so Jesus says in John 11, those who believe in me, even though they die physically, will never die, but have eternal life with him. What an amazing verse John 11 is. So the question is not if Jesus is God, but we have to recognize since he is Lord, then he has all authority in heaven and earth, just like he claimed to have. And that means you and I will give an account of our lives to him personally, individually, because he has the authority to judge because he is Lord. You see, the resurrection for Christians is our guaranteed hope that we have in Christ. It's everything to us. So just in 3 days, three short days this Easter weekend, God showed us how much he loves us and how much hope that we have in this life. Are you loved by our Heavenly Father? Do you have hope in Jesus this morning? We hope that you do. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, there is three things that remain. There's that thread of three again. There are three things that remain: faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. The greatest of these is love. So that's the greatest virtue. That's the greatest thing we can do, is to love God and love one another. The Bible also says our hope never fades. It's anchored to the shores of heaven. Once we breathe our last breath here, we're going to be like the thief. What Jesus says, today you will be with me in paradise. That's the hope that we have because of Christ. So the key question is, if love has already been met and hope has already been fulfilled, then where is your faith? Do you believe what he did for you? You know, the disciples who even walked with Jesus, saw Jesus do miracles, saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead, saw him feed 5,000, see him do so many things. You know, the Bible says they struggled with faith, even though they saw everything. And so if you're waiting to see something or a sign from God, there's no greater sign than the empty tomb. Put your trust in the risen King. Because once those disciples saw Jesus after the resurrection, once they ate with him, once they touched him, once they saw that he was real, their lives were forever changed. They died for their faith because they knew death was the entry point into heaven. So go ahead and put your trust in King Jesus today. Make Easter 2020 one that you will never forget. Don't just beat the pandemic this year. Beat death by living for Jesus and putting your trust in him and giving him free, give him control of your life and being free. You know, I hope this year, this 2020 year, I hope that everyone has great spiritual vision. I hope you get to see Jesus a little bit better this morning. I hope you focus on him today. Never, never forget he came for you. He came for you. But will you come to him? That's the key question. Will you come and believe and put your trust in the living one who's conquered all your enemies for you to give you hope beyond this world? That's where the reality is at. We're going to have a closing song here. And make this song your personal prayer. It's called, Lord, I Need You. And make that your personal prayer this morning, that you would just call upon Jesus and say, Lord, I need you today. I need your forgiveness. I need your love. I need hope in my life. I need answers beyond what I'm dealing with or what I'm going through. I need to know for sure that I'm going to spend eternity with Jesus, because he is the only one who has conquered death. We don't have to look for a cure. He already is the cure. I just have to put my hope in him today. If that's been your prayer today, Lord, I need you, go to our website. We have a prayer page. You can leave some prayer requests, or if you're watching through Facebook Live, send us a little prayer request so we can reach out to you. If you have questions about this great weekend, or if you want to receive Jesus, please be in touch with us. We would love to just sit down with you when time comes, or just over the phone or through an email, give you the process. Or just read the scriptures for yourself. Read John chapter 3 and just pray John 3:16 in your life this morning. So the amazing thing is, when we call on him, he hears us. and he answers our prayers. And so please reach out to us as well. I want to kind of give a closing benediction from 2 Corinthians chapter 13. It says, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. May the love of God, may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you always. And we're just praying that the Lord's countenance shine upon you today. May he bless you and honor your family today as you honor him and celebrate Easter together with Christ. And so have a great day. We love you. We hope to see you soon all here again. And have a great week in Jesus. Love you all. Amen.